97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I went a little deeper here on the Led Zeppelin tracks for the bumper music on a Friday here with Custard Pie. Love the song. Steve, I saw you kind of bouncing around over there as a rock and roll fan and guitar player. Steve Butts is here. Gene Evans, Jane Duker, all on the panel. I'll let you start with this one, Steve. We have now unarmed ambassadors roaming downtown with St. Louis police officers, or to compliment them in downtown St. Louis to do something about the crime. Is this a good idea?
Very good idea. So Wednesday I was downtown to help somebody vote early, which, by the way, you can vote early if you have an absentee thing. So get downtown and vote.
What about the vote often part of that?
No. Okay, not just right. Vote your one time.
Checking.
So I did not know the program existed yet. I see these two uniformed guys standing on the corner at just walking down, Market. And I'm like, what are you guys? And they said, we're this new program. We just walked downtown, help people, have a show of sanity, security, and if tourists need directions, we're here to help. I'm like, this is a great idea. Then I saw it on the news that night. I've been downtown all day today. I saw two on bikes. They are uniformed. Okay, they're not armed, but my biggest thing, when you need to feel safe, and I come downtown a lot, when you see no one on the sidewalks,
no, that's not good.
That is never good. Just this summer, it's not a lot, but it's noticeable there are people, and I'm talking normal times downtown from 7 in the morning till after ball games. You do see people on the sidewalks. It makes me feel better. The presence of these guys, they're not patrolling. They're not cops. They are uniformed, and it gives you a sense of security. It's worked in other cities. They use this in New York City. If you go, they have it all the time. If you're in London, everybody's unarmed, and it works. It's nice to see some semblance of security when you look down the street and somebody on the street.
Okay, Jane, you go now.
I mean, it's fine, but it's like, okay, you're spending $5 million on it, and, and it's only enabling the mayor from, putting police on the streets. I mean, this is a panacea for something. And then, just wait till one of these guys gets shot, and then everybody, is going to freak out because they don't – and good for them. They shouldn't work after 11 because it's not safe. And so, I mean, I think this whole idea that, we're going to pretend it's safe. And they even admitted it. They said it. Oh, we want to give the illusion that it's safe.
Optics matter.
And I'm like, I guess they do. But, I mean, until somebody gets shot.
How do they convince people to do this job if they're not armed?
I mean, how much are they paying? You say $5 million. How much are they paying the ambassadors?
I don't know.
I think ambassadors are great.
It's fine.
I was just in Paris. They have ambassadors. What else they have? They have people. They have armed people walking around with ARs.
Yeah, military. That's right.
I mean, they are everywhere.
Adequate policing.
That's Paris. London doesn't have that.
Right, but it
made me feel safe.
Exactly. In New York, you can't
Barcelona
go 5 feet
when
without
I was there.
Seeing a cop.
Anywhere in Italy. I mean, most European, countries have something, especially at the airport and at the train stations. But they also have very fluid borders. They don't, like we have... Even though our southern border is very open.
Open borders.
Yes. But we have ocean on either side of us, where most of these countries are surrounded by other countries. So at the train stations, airports, they do have a significant armed presence. And when you first see it, you're kind of like, whoa, because you're not used to it. But after that, it's just part of the scenery. You don't feel threatened or scared. It's just, it's like, well, I'm glad they're here because I do feel people are less likely, especially to women. If somebody pulls out a knife or a gun, I'm just going to give them whatever they want. But if they know somebody around the corner could have an AR, they're less likely to do that. That's why the presence matters.
I agree.
I don't have a major problem with this. I do share some of the concerns that Jane mentioned, though, about giving the mayor, the leeway to... But, Steve, here's an optics thing for you, because if you want to look at priorities, that should be public safety, one of the priorities. But what do I hear this week? I hear about reparations. A city committee says, we got to dole out checks. That's just nonsense. It never gets called out. They actually take it seriously. It's not serious. We got $250 million sitting in one bank account, $500 in another, whatever the numbers are. What is it?
They have a $42 million budget surplus, and they're bragging about it. And I'm like, and we are still over 400 cops short.
Yep. Why don't they give all these families a voucher to go to any school they want to do? That'd do a better way to do reparations than writing checks.
Well, the city's not going to do that. We're not going to do reparations checks. It's not going to happen.
It's not constitutional.
It is just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
The thing on the cops, I want more cops. The cops, I support them, but we also don't have people wanting to become cops, not just in the city of St. Louis. People don't want to be highway patrol
but
they dudes.
Really
they
don't
want to be county
cops here because you can't even compare the city and the county.
I can because they're all short-staffed because people just don't, young people don't want to be cops.
And you know why? Because you have a board of aldermen and a mayor who hate police more than anyone else.
And all over America, that story is true. So every mayor and every city hates the cops?
No,
I don't think so.
No, they don't.
I don't
Ours
think
is
so.
Actually that much worse.
I don't think Eric Adams hates the cops, just the FBI.
Right. Yeah, he don't like the feds. Right.
He's not going to like the jail guards, too, prison guards, either.
He should come here, where it's easy to get past the feds.
All right, Steve, I'll start with you on this one again. Look, I'm the biggest baseball fan on the planet, and I've been a loyal St. Louis Cardinals fan since right around 1980 when I moved here in 79 and was blessed with that World Series and several appearances in the 80s. And, you know, the team was a little better this year than it was last year, but we have higher standards here in St. Louis, and they hold a news conference on Monday. By the way, I have Bernie Miklas coming up at 5:07. I can't wait to hear Bernie's thoughts on all of this, but it does seem like they were announcing a reset, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's a rebuild, but it's going to take a while, and it's going to be probably a little painful. I don't know. I want to ask Bernie about the Royals. I don't know how the Royals did. You know, they lost 106 games last year, and they're in the playoffs right now against the Yankees.
Yeah, okay. So I'll take the Cardinals' lifetime record over the Royals any day of the week. I got a son-in-law who loves the Royals. I say, I love the Royals, too. That's my favorite minor league team, but not this year. Not this
year. I'll root for them.
That being said, we do have, for a mid-market team like we are, we do have unrealistic expectations, but I think we've proven they can be met. There are going to be some down years and down times, but the press conference, I think, was really the issue. You talk about optics
tone
and tone deaf.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
Holy cow. I mean, your fan base is disgusted. Mo had to go. I mean, he had to go and said, hey, you know, we've had some success. We've lost our mojo, no pun intended.
Yeah.
We're going to hire this new guy. We're going to rebuild from the inside going out. We're going to get back to being competitive baseball.
You know,
this year alone, yeah, we were a little bit better, but I'm like, really, if Goldschmidt and Arenado would have hit,
we keep watching these players who are failing here go to other teams and have success.
And not fail. And coaches.
Yes, and coaches. And so that's when you come back and look at the organization. If you're running any organization, much less a sports organization, and your employees are going somewhere else and having great success, eventually you got to look inside and say, what are we doing wrong that they weren't successful here? And guess what? These free agents are not going to want to come here anymore. Arenado's like kicking himself that he stayed.
Right.
They're not coming back.
You know what concerned me is you have. I think what fans want to see, we don't expect perfection. We have high standards, and I don't want to lower our standards because that's not a great thing.
Right.
But the lack of acknowledging the depth of the problem and
I think that's what's frustrating people.
We want
an entertaining form of baseball, and we haven't had that. And you know, you mentioned, look, Mike Schilt's in the playoffs right now.
Right.
Yep. Right.
I mean, how dumb do we look? I mean, pretty dumb. And you know, you may have five reasons why we shouldn't feel dumb.
And we have the best closer in baseball.
Right. And it's not working.
Right.
So I agree. I think we have more than just a pipeline problem. I do think.
Well, I think they know that. I don't know that they're admitting it. Look, the Athletic article that came out a week ago by Katie Wu was devastating. It really was. And a lot of, you know, anonymous sources. But there were people inside the organization that were repeatedly saying, oh, man, we didn't know it was this bad. But it is this bad. And that's the recognition. Now, they did fire Turner Ward today. That's the hitting coach. I don't know if that's a sacrificial lamb or not. We'll talk with Bernie about that a little later. But this also has impacts on downtown Ballpark Village.
Yes.
And there's going to be, you know, Mr. DeWitt said they want to improve the game day experiences. Well, improving the game day experiences would include winning.
Right.
And
yeah,
that's where I think the tone deafness came, because there's going to be empty seats if they don't prove otherwise next year.
I split season tickets, and I'm telling you, it was tough to get rid of them the second half of this year. The game day experience, the experience of Cardinal baseball, going to the game, bring your kids. It's wonderful. I love it. I've loved it since I was five.
Doggone it,
the team just stinks, and this is more than 2 years, and we're on a trajectory in the wrong direction.
And the question I have is, why is Mo not on the chopping block? Please explain to me, you're a big boy.
He's like, had a level of success over his career here, and you know, the DeWitts have stood by him. I like Mo personally.
Right.
Some people don't. I like him, but it does seem weird because you're handing it over to this guy anyway. this Heim Bloom. I don't know who's really going to make the decisions
off.
In the next
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
Right. So,
rip it off.
Well, just look at how they handled Jordan Walker. I mean, that is the epitome of how messed up this thing is. Oh, he's going to play. No, he's got to be down there to play every day. Then we bring him up. Oh, he's not going to play every day. Oh, we're going to send him back down. I mean, this guy's one of the most talented young athletes
is
in
he?
All of baseball.
Well, we'll see about that.
Is he?
You know, that's the other thing.
Is
There's
he?
Questions now.
I don't
now.
Think so.
Yeah, he's certainly not a good outfielder. I think that we know. Steve, good to see you.
Thanks, Mark.
Gene, great to have you back on the panel.
Good to be here.
Jane, I put up with you as usual, but you're going to hang out in the next hour.
I am.
And I appreciate that. We're coming back, 4 o'clock hour, wrapping up a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday.
Get more at 971talk.com.